Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Welcome into Fantasy Sports today as we are here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish along with Joe Pizzapia. Make sure you stay on the grid, get on the grid, as we got you here from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, talking reality sports, fantasy sports, and even gambling with everything that is going on right now as we continue our discussion about everything, simply put, Joe, that we can get our hands on, whether it's the KBO or it's soccer.
When we have nothing, we make magic. That's what we do here on Fantasy Sports today. By the way, a really nice endorsement yesterday from Cal Ripken Jr. for you. I saw that over on Twitter. Apparently big fan of yours. I don't know if you caught that or not, but apparently not so big of a fan of mine. But that's to be expected. However, yeah, it looks like some – it feels like we're in a moment where things are starting to get announced slowly. Things are starting to trickle out a little bit, at least with tentative plans. And I think that's a good sign. Whether or not these are plans for actual games or actual games with – or sporting events with fans, without fans, that is to be determined. But it seems like at least plans – for planning, or at least in the planning mode.
Yeah, and I think that that's the important thing in this sort of era that we're in, the like 2 months of no sports era, is especially from a fantasy standpoint and even a wagering standpoint, I simply put am just not somebody that's going to put a lot of stake into some of the things that are happening right now. I'm holding out hope that maybe this time next week we'll have some more clarity on baseball. From the people that I'm still speaking to, they are telling me the same thing. It is all rumor and innuendo, and really nothing is, unfortunately, legitimate at this point. But, Joe, there does come a point pretty soon, I think, for all of the leagues, and that would include the NBA and NHL, where at least a plan is going to have to be devised. But without a plan, you got nothing.
And I think there's the plan is going to be sports before fans. And I think that makes sense because most of the revenue, let's be honest, the gates are great and all, but it's about the TV revenue. And if we're not getting the TV revenue and the advertising revenue and all that that's streaming through there, especially teams that have their own networks like the Yankees and the Mets and other teams like that, I think that that is the most important thing, is to get sports back on television, get folks who are working in the ancillary areas of sports, whether it be broadcasting or media or beat reporters, all those folks, get all of them back and working again. And then slowly but surely, one would hope that fans will follow eventually. And I think I'm optimistic about it because I feel like we are going to get towards that sooner than later, it's always very difficult to look into the distance and see, okay, well, what's it look like and how is it is? And I think it's going to be more of a mental issue than a health issue for a long time, where people might want to go but might be a little bit afraid. I think that's going to take a longer period of time to get over for folks than necessarily when people are said, hey, go out there. It's okay to go out there. You can now. Will they actually show up? I think it's going to take a longer time for even that to happen. But the most important thing is we get sports back on broadcast television, because right. that is really crucial from the revenue standpoint.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I think that people don't realize is that when you look at it sport by sport, people are asking, why are they rushing to come back? Why are some of the leagues trying to get back? A lot of it is because of the television revenue.
Right.
And that essentially is the key for the NFL, the NBA, the NHL too. But it's a lot different for college football. I still have some concerns with, and again, when it comes to betting futures or anything like that, you certainly could get them in now or you could wait. But my advice is on all the college stuff would be to wait, because their revenue is a lot of the fans that show up for those games. There's 100,000 yeah. people in Michigan and 100,000 people for every game at Ohio State.
Well, biggest thing about it too, the SEC, TV deals with CBS and places like that, that is serious money.
But it doesn't come close to the NFL. The NFL is the king. And so that's a big part for college. The other part of it is that it's really hard to send a message that we're going to let student athletes play without having the kids back at school. So that is a
and you're not paying them. They're professional athletes.
Too. Yeah, it's a dynamic athletes. That is a little yeah. murky, I would say, at this point. If I had to predict, I do believe that there will be a college football season as well, but I'm not sure that they'll be able to play the full schedule. I'm not sure that this thing will start off Labor Day weekend like it always does. It just may be a matter of playing a shortened schedule, which, by the way, is pretty much no big deal for college football, considering that for most of the teams, the first couple of games are usually out of conference, and they mean a lot in terms of getting to the playoff, but they don't necessarily mean a lot as far as winning their conference. Conference play usually for most teams will start up in late September or October. So, we'll certainly see what happens there. As far as horse racing is concerned, Joe, we're waiting on the Kentucky Derby. We know that it's all kind of backwards this year, where the Derby essentially had to put themselves off until September. And we get word out of Baltimore today that the Preakness Stakes is potentially going to be held in October, and then hopefully the Belmont will come sometime late in October or November. I know a lot of people are very heavy into sports, into horse racing and betting, and so certainly this will give people some hope. But you talk about events where there are 100,000 people at every single one of these things. That's what the Triple Crown is.
Yeah, well, I guess my question, too, is this is such an abnormal time frame, am I correct, in terms of the horse racing? So how do the horses react to this, having races so close together? I mean, I'm not
we'll
exactly
We'll have to
sure.
ask and find out.
Yeah, because
we'll
I mean, that would be my first question from a wagering standpoint.
Will the horses tell you?
I don't know. Well, is there data that tells us, that certain kinds of horses or a larger horse or a heavier horse? I have no idea. Horse racing, not my bag, but I am curious to see how it would potentially affect such a thing like that. If you're trying to do the Triple Crown in, 6 weeks altogether, that could be a very, very different sort of situation than when you're having some race in the spring and then some in the summer and one in the fall. That's a very, very different training regimen, I'd imagine, as well.
Dallas Morning News reports next month there is a college baseball tournament scheduled. I know that the draft is going to be held in June as well. We're waiting for the final clarification on that. Ironically, the MLB draft may be the very first MLB real event of 2020. I mean, it looks like we're trending in that direction, either 5 rounds or 10 rounds. But I think basically the Dallas Morning News, it's a column and a story. And the gist of it is essentially, for those of you who don't have the Dallas Morning News, is asking the question that is it too soon? And I think that my answer is pretty generic and the same for a lot of these situations, which is, first of all, I'm not one to judge whether it's too soon or not. But the other thing is that I don't feel like we've made a lot of progress knowing answers to the too soon thing at mm-hmm. all. And I thought a couple of weeks ago we would be sitting here on May 6th and we would have a few more answers. People ask me, I tell them the same thing. I think in a couple of weeks we have some more answers, but what if we don't? And that's my concern with some of this stuff at this point, is that if we're still unable to make a judgment call based on facts, then I don't know where we're going to be in the month of June.
Well, the most important thing is to make sure that people are healthy, number one. You know, you can't be playing baseball if you're not alive, right. Last time I checked. However, if there's a situation, again, where people can go out there and play safely in these environments and those games can be broadcast, that to me is a no-brainer. That's something you would absolutely do. It's the fan aspect. It's the when is it safe to go and congregate in large groups again. And you have to look – when you look at the map of the coronavirus map and what's gone on too, there's clearly the hot spots in certain spots, especially, you know, the New York, New Jersey area and some other cities. And that makes a lot of sense. I mean, when you talk about college baseball tournaments in Texas, it's a much more wide open space than it is a congested city like a Manhattan. So you really can compare the two. And if everyone follows the proper guidelines, then there should be a lot of guidelines in place going forward for these locker rooms, for these players, for all right. The things that there's testing for them. Number one, first and foremost, that they maybe they're tested every week just to be safe and to go forward like that. It's fascinating. You mentioned this thing, and I know we're up against the break, but with the college draft or the amateur draft, I should say, coming up for Major League Baseball potentially, and I know there's been a lot of rumblings about downsizing minor league baseball. Is this kind of the first salvo in the shortening of the player draft, the amateur draft for Major League Baseball in the future? Because they were able to do it this year and size it down. Is this basically a harbinger of things to come for minor league baseball, as there's been a lot of discussion about retracting some minor league teams or attracting whole classes of minor leagues from a financial standpoint? What's the impact potentially here? And is this like the first benchmark of that?
Yeah, this is exactly what this is. Yeah, all those teams that you've heard about being contracted or retracted, that's happening. Mm-hmm. The MLB draft is never going to be 30 rounds ever again, never going to be 40 rounds ever again.
Yeah.
Most it'll ever be, I think, is probably around 20. And that's going to change the way that things are done. I think it's going to hurt college kids a lot, because kids who had that dream of getting drafted and then going on and getting themselves in the pros, now they're going to have to reconsider staying in school or maybe even starting another career, because even this year after the draft, Joe, and whether it's 5 rounds or 10 rounds, the maximum amount that you can pay any kid in college free agency is $20,000.
So I also wonder if it becomes a more digestible television event too as it gets sized down, because, you know, the NFL draft is obviously a huge thing. Gets better ratings in the World Series. And then we have the NBA draft, which gets pretty good ratings too. Major League Baseball draft, not so much.
But they've never really tried until
they've
about
never
a decade
really
ago.
They started to do it a little bit in Secaucus, and then they've tried to grow it. But if you have, instead of 40 rounds, 20, and you're able to go through maybe even the first couple rounds, or
The first round's always on TV.
It is always on TV, but I
don't ever think that will change.
I kind of wonder too. Do you get to a point where you're able to, maybe these kids do stay in college longer, and maybe college baseball becomes more of them like the pseudo minor leagues, and then you get these players coming in at 22 years old and being able to contribute a lot faster into the major leagues as opposed to drafting the high school kid. I think college baseball is going to be most affected by this.
Well, talent is going to speak for itself. If you have a kid coming out of high school that's a stud, he's going to go in the draft no matter what. I don't think anybody will ever be interested in the 6th round of the MLB draft seeing that on TV. There's too many teams, there's too many kids, it's almost impossible to know. And, you know, all the college football games, Joe, they're on TV.
That's the big difference. But even if they can just get to a point where they can get maybe the first couple rounds and maybe start pivoting into doing it at nighttime and making it feel like a thing.
Well, they've had it at nighttime the last 5 years.
Well, they had it in the evening. It was like 5 o'clock. Last year was the first year they did it in primetime, I believe. Because I want to say every year past, usually it's a 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock start or something like that. It was kind of late afternoon, early evening in Secaucus. They did a good job with it. But maybe you don't do it in the studio in Secaucus. Maybe you do it like an event. Maybe you start
treating
it.
Well, they had it in Omaha. It was the College World Series.
Well, that was this past year. That was the first time. But I'm saying,
well, they're starting to be, Joe, give them a break. They're starting to come up with these ideas.
And the NFL used to do theirs at Radio City Music Hall in Manhattan, and they're doing theirs in Omaha, Nebraska. I think there's a big gap there in terms of trying to create a
College
show.
World Series is the mecca of the end of the college baseball season. You could have the champion going and shaking hands with the commissioner.
NFL gets it. NFL knows it's a show.
You're never going to be able to compare the two. It's not possible.
But every Saturday, Joe, you see every single one
of the players that it's getting drafted. That's never going to happen in baseball.
You're absolutely right from that perspective. But if you start treating it like an event, that's a must-see event.
It doesn't matter. You're never going to know the kid from Texas high school that throws 98 miles an hour. It's never going to happen.
No, but you might want to watch the show, and that's the point I'm saying. You might not know those kids, but you might want to get familiar with them, and it's a perfect opportunity by covering the draft at night in a primetime cool way.
Last few years. All right, listen, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with Today in Fantasy Sports and Fantasy Sports Birthdays. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, by the way, at Sports Grid. We post some really cool videos, let you know about our schedule, all of these shows that are on the air. Also, as a quick reminder, Pharrell is going to be live now every single day. So maybe a little bit later, just go over to sportsgrid.com. Pluto TV, Zumo TV, all the apps that we have, and the, of course, Amazon Fire Stick gives you the ability to watch all those on television if you choose. But as we get back to some of our live programming, make sure you catch Scott Farrell's show a little bit later on today as he goes coast to coast. Now, today is May the 7th, 2020. We had May the 4th be with you. On the 5th, we had Cinco de Mayo. On the 6th, well, we just kind of got past it. So May the 7th, is there anything special that comes to mind, Joe, about May the 7th for you?
No, May the 6th was my grandma's birthday, so a very special day for grandma. Happy birthday. Yes, she passed many years ago, but
I'm sorry about that.
It's all right. No, it's nice. She would have been 106, I think, but the nice thing is that she was one of the great baseball ladies out there, huge Mets fan, used to watch the game every night and fall asleep to it. Every night on the couch. You would see her out there passed out snoring, and I'd have to nudge her. Grandma, you're snoring. Wake up. You know, she's like, I'm just resting my eyes.
Right.
No, May the 7th, you got to love the resting your eyes. I think
I've never gone with resting my eyes.
I think
I just admit it. If I'm tired, I'm going to go to sleep. There's no reason for me to lie about sleep.
It was like a weakness for that generation. That was a depression generation.
No, but I still hear
No, we never sleep.
My wife will say, I'm just resting my eyes. She will say, well, we'll be watching a movie, and I'll say, are you up? She'll be like, no, I'm just resting my eyes. I'm like, you're done. You're going to sleep. Just say it. It's okay. There's no shame in being tired.
No, there is no shame in being tired. No, but May the 7th, I don't know. We did have a little run there, Cinco de Mayo, and then May the 4th with you. How about you? May the 7th? Anything pop up for you?
Not in particular. You know, I wake up and I look at the birthdays and wonder, are there going to be anything interesting? Yesterday we had a really good one. We had Willie Mays. We got to see me and Willie Mays.
And the picture. Oh, the picture was fantastic. You and Willie.
Me and Willie at Don Shula's restaurant.
I know. Full circle. That's what yesterday was. Yesterday was all the pieces coming
together. Not every day you get a legend. Is Willie Mays the before we go to this day in sports, yesterday I said somebody texted me yesterday. I said that Willie Mays is the greatest living baseball player, I think. I mean, that's debatable, certainly. But is he the greatest living sports athlete after Michael Jordan?
Oh, okay. I was going to say Jordan.
No. After Michael Jordan.
After Michael Jordan.
Come on. I'm not.
That is interesting. That is difficult. I mean.
Is he ahead of Wayne Gretzky?
Well, I'm going to say Wayne Gretzky in the NHL, probably not. I mean, did anybody really win more or dominate?
Like nobody better in hockey history than Wayne Gretzky.
No, so I would say Wayne
Gretzky. That's a good debate.
You know, you could actually make an argument Wayne Gretzky was more dominant than Michael Jordan in terms
in
of
his sport.
In his sport, you can make that argument. A lot of people
would you say Willie Mays is more popular than Wayne Gretzky in the States? I would.
In the States, probably, yeah. I asked this question yesterday. Who's the second greatest living baseball player after Willie Mays? Because we've been saying this Willie Mays thing for many, many years now. And I was just kind of curious, and you dodged the question. You didn't answer. Do you have an answer?
Oh, I don't remember you asking that.
Yeah, I said, "Is it Kate?" You said, "Don't be morbid. It's his birthday. Don't wish him dead." And I wasn't wishing him dead, but I don't know. Is it Kate Griffey Jr.? Is it Barry Bonds?
I still would say Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron?
Yeah, I still would say Hank Aaron.
All right. I don't know. I mean, Hank Aaron was great. And he
Sandy Koufax?
Well, short career too. It's tough. You know, I guess it's how you judge greatness, right? Do you judge greatness on the person who had the enormous peaks? You know, like Griffey had some huge peak years,
yeah,
as
no,
did,
but
you know, knowing Hank Aaron never hit 50 home runs in a season. He didn't have any of those kind of magical runs like that. So it's a little difficult there. I mean, you could argue Barry Bonds. I mean, he's the only player with 500 home runs and 500 stolen bases.
Yeah, he's the best player I ever saw.
Best player I ever saw, too. I mean, him and Griffey, those would be my two that I would put up there right away.
Yeah, I mean, there'd be some others for me, too. Tom Seaver would have to be somewhere in the top 10.
It's tough to put a pitcher in that category. They don't play
it is, but day. I always go to, not relievers, but starting pitchers I got to include.
Every fifth day. The guy out there playing nine innings, I don't know, every day, 162 games. You could have the argument, greatest living pitcher. That's a fun argument, actually. There's a lot of them. That's a great argument, I think.
All right, well,
we'll have to have that.
Well, we have time.
Tomorrow's show.
That's for sure. All right, so let's do it. This day in fantasy sports history for May the 7th, and we kick it all the way back to 1972 in the NBA championship. The Los Angeles Lakers beat the New York Knicks 4-1. Neither of us were around for that, but certainly the Lakers had that run in the 70s as well, just like they did in the 80s, a different group. Ended up winning championships for L.A. And the Knicks were actually good back then, Joe. How about that?
That was the, I would say, the Walt Frazier and the end of the Willis Reed Knicks, I believe. And I would assume we're talking about the Jerry West Lakers years, right? Are we in the Jerry West, or is that even post-Jerry West? It's 72.
I think it could have been after that. I think Wilt could have been on these.
I need Brett to make clarifications on that. He's our NBA guru.
Yeah. I think Chamberlain was on these. Chamberlain won nothing because they lost to the Celtics a lot, but I believe that this was like maybe the one championship that he did win. I know he won one. 1994, I think a lot of people remember this one, especially if you're in your 30s or you're in your 40s, but the 8 seed in the NBA was always a doormat and never beat the 1. And they shortened they lengthened the series, mm-hmm. but way back when, in 1994, these were a 5-game series. And, man, the Sonics came in as the team to beat. It was Peyton, Kemp, and all these guys. Denver snuck into the playoffs, and they ended up beating Seattle in 5 games at the very last moment. And you see the picture there of Dikembe Mutombo laying on the ground holding the ball up. I don't think there's any doubt that is a big moment in history. Everyone remembers when that happened.
Absolutely. I remember seeing it, and I remember it being – then the next year on everything for the NBA is that moment of him holding that ball, and you can see the joy in his face. Mutombo was a terrific player, great defensive player for sure, and obviously a fun character too.
He
I mean,
was.
He's got that Cookie Monster-esque sort of voice.
Remember his
that commercial with him where he keeps blocking the toilet paper in the store. No. I mean, you gotta love that guy.
I like Kevin. Dumbo,
yeah. Do you like the three? Do you like the best 3 out of 5, or you prefer the 4 out of 7 in the early rounds?
I mean, the NBA is listen. They're just trying to get as much money as they can. So more
games,
that's
the whole point.
TV.
We all know that's why. But I'm asking you as a fan, do you like the 3 out of 5 in building?
I could go either way, but I mean, it does seem kind of pointless to have the one play the 8 and just sweep in 4 games. But yeah, I guess yes. I would like to see the first round of the NBA be 5 games. Yeah.
I think it would be better to be shorter too. I think it has build then. I think when you go right at 4, it becomes almost like a marathon. You shouldn't feel like a marathon in the playoffs. You should feel like a sprint. And I think the 3 out of 5 is a little juice to it.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But we'll never see it. Too much money.
No, too much money. Kidding? Too
home
money.
Games? It's all
two home games apiece for both those teams. The Dodgers in 2009, remember, Manny Ramirez came over in 2008. He goes through this epic run, he and Hanley Ramirez, and the Dodgers are looking like they're going to win World Series, and Manny is just crushing it, and he puts together basically 2008, the best season he's ever had, 2009, unbelievable, and then we come to find out he's on PEDs. And this really stunk because, for me, Manny Ramirez was one of the ultimate hitters of our generation. And honestly, had this been the only thing that happened to Manny, even though it was so ridiculous, the kind of PEDs he was taking, it was like for pregnant women, some ridiculous stuff. I mean, he got popped twice more, man. Like, that to
it's
me...
It's Manny!
Like,
Manny doesn't know! Manny's just
and
taking...
That's a real shame, because I like the guy. He lives in South Florida, too, but... Three
Manny's
PED suspension. He's not getting in. There's no chance.
I roll my eyes at that because
yeah, but Joe, when you have rules in place and you blatantly get caught,
What's the difference? So there's no rules in place and you have. So it's okay to have no integrity if there's no rules. That's what you're saying.
I think all of them didn't have integrity, but I think that. Right. But at the point where the league catches up and says, hey,
well,
look.
Show me – where does it say in the guidelines of the Hall of Fame voting that if you fail the test that you're not eligible for the Hall of Fame? Now, that might change
some
people's –
No, he's eligible. Yeah,
exactly.
No.
And I think
the Baseball Hall of Fame has nothing to do with Major League Baseball.
I understand. But and that's why – I mean, if we're talking about the play on the field, that's what it's about. It's playing the field. Did anybody, ever get suspended for fighting or suspended for other things? Suspension is suspension. Whatever you got suspended for, you break the rules. It's a knock on your integrity to a certain extent, but potentially. Manny's a Hall of Famer. Palmeiro's a Hall of Famer. Bagwell's in. Piazza's in. Ricky Henderson's in. There's a lot of guys in who we have certain questions about, obviously. I have no questions about it. You're the best player in the generation you played. You're in the Hall of Fame. Stop. Manny Ramirez was great. Never think that he wasn't.
Yep. Not in the Hall of Fame for me. None of the guys who were caught get in. 2010, Jamie Moyer becomes 47 years old and is the oldest pitcher to throw a shutout in Major League Baseball. And I am 46 doing this, and I could barely get through 2 hours. And finally,
yeah,
in 2011,
harder than Jamie Moyer. I just want everybody to know.
In 2011, Animal Kingdom wins the Kentucky Derby, the 137th Kentucky Derby, and that is this day in fantasy sports. So. From there, we'll go over to our birthdays for today. And, of course, the list is not quite what it was yesterday because we don't – I mean, actually, we do have one maybe two Hall of Famers actually here. But let's kind of go through it. 1933, Johnny Unitas, who passed away a few years ago, was born. And, one of the great quarterbacks of all time for sure. Played in a completely different era of football. So can't look at his numbers or stats and think that they would compare to anybody now. But he was widely regarded as that. Also played forever. Sean Marion, born in 1978. Former member, of course, of the Phoenix Suns. Was really good with them and then went on with the Miami Heat for a while. Alex Smith, of course, former first pick in the NFL draft. Quarterback with the Chiefs, with the Redskins. And hopefully he can get his way back on the field. Earl Thomas, who I do think is he's going to be a Hall of Famer, I think, when
Absolutely.
It's all said and done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then Emilio Pagan. I was running out of – when you look at a name and you don't see anything good, that's when you know I'm running out of real estate.
So, it's May 7th and there's no sports when Emilio Pagan got mentioned. But quick thing about Unitas, though. It always pains me when people talk about, they're listed a top five quarterbacks of all time. And far too often people leave his name off of it. He's absolutely in that class because without Johnny Unitas, you don't have the modern passing game that you have in the NFL now. And to have any top five that doesn't have him, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and then for the fifth spot, you can make arguments. You could say Breeze, you could say Marino, you could say Elway. I always laugh. I think it's comical when people want to put people like Aaron Rodgers or even Brett Favre, as great as he was, in that top five of all time kind of conversation. And they don't talk about Johnny Unitas. I mean, without Johnny Unitas, you don't have what we know as the modern-day NFL, which is an offensive bonanza. But that's because they were the first to really make the forward pass a thing. And once again, here we go, Don Shula again, right?
Yeah. No, it's look, the game has changed so much. It's comparing eras and times. It's so difficult. And the other part of it, too, is that the further we get away from eras like the ones that Unitas played, and even in the 60s and 70s, it's really hard to identify because all we did is really watch film. None of us even saw it. And a lot of the historians who did see it, unfortunately, are gone too, some of those media members. So it does become a little bit of difficult of a chore. We try to do it in baseball as well. We'll take a quick time out on Fantasy Sports today, but you stay on the grid. Joe and I will be right back. We got plenty more to cover here, so don't go away. We're back in just 2 minutes.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build and optimize lineups for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Get on the grid.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pizzapia. We got you here till 1 o'clock Eastern. Don't forget, every single day, catch the morning after in the morning. They're doing a great job with that show. A lot of good conversation. They come on just before we do. So if you're watching live, go back and check out YouTube. And you can see them discuss some really hot topics every single day. Some really good debate back and forth. The morning after every single day right here on Sports Grid. So yesterday we got the news. You know, it's like all the news we're getting these days are from Instagram. It's like crazy. And I don't even have Instagram. So it's
I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago, you and I.
Still don't have it. I got a burner, basically. That's it.
Which is even funnier to me. It's like you have it, but you won't commit to it.
Yeah, I have like a burner. It's like
it's a wonder.
I'm going to have to do it eventually. Just do it.
I'll tell you what. I'll make sure no one follows you there. How's that? No messages, no following.
I don't want to start with something else on the phone.
Well, you have to follow.
The screen time is already way up from where it was, and they tell you every Sunday that the screen time is way up.
Well, the Instagram is where you're getting a lot more of the some of these things right now that are popping off there. Not as much of Twitter, which is kind of funny to me because I feel like Twitter is so much more digestible, but the difference is there's so much of a negative stigma on Twitter.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's where it is, where the comments and everybody, you know, whereas Instagram, people read less comments on Instagram. They like, they move on. It's a lot of discussion. Twitter, Facebook is a lot more discussion. It's not really a discussion platform. I think that's why Instagram is where everyone's going to, because they don't have to really get into it with anybody.
Yeah. All right. So yesterday on Instagram, Tua Tagovailoa decided that he's going to wear number one for the Miami Dolphins. Of course, he's not going to wear number 13. And there was a columnist that suggested that the Dolphins unretire number 13 for Tua, which is insane.
A columnist from where?
From Orlando, actually.
What is he, 12? How old?
No, he's actually a really good columnist.
Really? 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 I mean, you have one great player. That's it. That's what you're gonna, like, you had Dan Marino in the last 20 years. That's the guy.
Look, there's some thought process that this needs to all stop, and they need to just stop retiring numbers. Then you don't have to go through this. But
well, I mean, I guess here's the thing. It's like retiring. I mean, with the Yankees, forget it. I mean, we're running out of.
I know numbers. They don't have any numbers.
But though, I mean, that's the whole point. Is can we get to a point where you can retire, have a ceremony, retire the guy's jersey as a ceremonial thing? But I mean, to have no one ever wear that number again. You know, it's one thing when you look up and say, oh, look, there's number three. That's for Babe Ruth. Or there's number six for, you know, this person.
It's very hard to do.
I don't know.
The other part of it is that it really comes in handy when your team isn't good and you want to bring fans to the stands. They have retirement of the jersey number.
It's a huge deal.
I get it. It makes
you
sense.
Retire the jersey. I mean, the Dolphins, number 13, really Dolphins, really Colin?
I mean, that's the only one that would never be worn again.
Come on, bro.
Legitimately. So
come on.
Anyway, We'll move off that. So anyway, he's going to wear the number one jersey, and I'm not going to go through an exercise of every jersey in the country that I don't want to do. But I will say this, that the number one is interesting because I thought it would be a good exercise, and I always like when I miss stuff and I forget guys, so hopefully I did today, but we'll see. I always like when I forget the number ones in the history of sports. So let's start with my first basic. I sort of ranked them. I feel like I sort of did, but, you know, I mean, not so much. Like, I don't spend a ton of time on it, but here are the one in the history of sports. And Ozzie Smith, to me, is my number one, number one. That to me, is the, you know, my era of sports. And I remember him playing with the 80s and doing the flips. I mean, you always saw number one with St. Louis. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's a very nice guy. I got him number one. I got to say that if my era was in the 70s, I probably would have picked Oscar Robertson, because by all accounts, for most people in doing my research, they feel like he is the number one of all time. But he was not my era. So I'll put him at number two. Pee Wee Reese of the Brooklyn Dodgers. You grew up in Brooklyn in the 50s. You knew he was the number one of all time at that time. Of course, they won a World Series championship too. If you're a football fan, perhaps Warren Moon is your guy. Another guy that's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The most popular number one of the last 50 years in football, that's for sure too. And I've got Penny Hardaway, who, when he came into the league, probably people thought that he would be at the top of all, and he's not, but he certainly is very popular and had a lot of really good years before the injury sort of kicked in. And then I got Jim Thorpe here at the end because he wore number one. I wouldn't have guessed that. I did not know that. But by all accounts, he deserves to be in the conversation. So that's where we're going to start off with, and then I want to go to the honorable mentions.
Well, I love the Ozzie Smith being number one, number one. He's 1-1, as they say in the business.
1-1 draft.
Well, I mean, also, when I think of the number one, it has to suit a certain body type for me. You know, I think because, you know, the single-digit guys, and Ozzie Smith had a single-digit body type. I think we can agree on that. Pee Wee Reese did, too. I think that's great. You have to have that. But you can't have Aaron Judge wearing one. You know, Aaron
that
Judge
would be
is
funny, though.
It would be. Like, imagine just one. No, he wears 99. Like, you know, right. You can't have the bigs. I mean, could you imagine just a giant offensive lineman? I mean, it's just crazy there. But Ozzie Smith, yeah, that one we remember so often because we would
feel
see.
Like he's a top.
Well, you see the back as he flipped, and you would right. See the jersey, see the one go upside down, and invert itself. That was incredible. And I'll tell you what, just because in the last segment we were talking about some of the all-time great quarterbacks don't get enough love, like Johnny Unitas. Warren Moon doesn't get enough either. Warren Moon did not play his entire career in the NFL. He also played in an era where it was very difficult for the black quarterback to get recognized with playing time number one and then with a job number two. And Warren Moon was an exceptional quarterback for many, many years. And in terms of the NFL, that's the only guy that I think of in terms of number
yeah,
one.
Yeah, me too.
I think of him. Anthony Hardaway, I always think of the what if. That's another guy too. And people forget how good Anthony Hardaway was. Penny Hardaway and Shaquille O'Neal, for that small window, were as good a duo. We talked about the great NBA Jam duos. There's another one for you. Penny Hardaway and Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't get much better than that.
And when Shaq left, Penny initially was phenomenal also, right? And he was carrying them, then the injuries just...
It's unfortunate.
Started.
He was a great player, great personality. And, of course, I could forget the Little Penny commercials.
Little Penny.
Oh, Chris Rock doing Little Penny. Those were fantastic. That's when advertising was making you think with the Little Penny. There you go.
He was Jordan after Jordan, sort of.
I mean, he was.
People thought that he was going to be. It was going to be Penny and Kobe.
Well, people thought he was going to be in that grouping, yeah. But, I mean, Brett just chiming in, too, that Tracy McGrady wearing number one, too. I forgot
well,
about
you know, why doesn't Brett just wait till we get to that?
Oh, well, Brett gets very excited.
And then we can get it to Tracy McGrady because he is on the next.
Two of us actually talk basketball. He's very excited. We've done a lot of basketball and freaking horse racing the last 2 days. What's going on here with the show?
All right. So without further ado, we give you the other number ones and Tracy McGrady. Surprise,
hey! Surprise. There you go, Brett. Top. There you go. That's for you, baby.
So McGrady came in after Penny, and I think that McGrady went on to have a fantastic NBA, long NBA career, and I think that we all thought that Tracy McGrady was going to be the next best player in the NBA as well. But for a four-year period, he kind of was. He was in the All-Star games and looked like it was going to be the case, and then I believe he forced his way out of Orlando, and a lot of nonsense after that.
A lot of nonsense.
Chris Bosh went from Toronto to Miami. He picked number one with Miami, won a championship with the Heat wearing number one as well. So I think for at least recent awareness, we can put him in the conversation. Look, Richie Ashburn, it was a phenomenal player, a Hall of Fame player with the Philadelphia Phillies. I, of course, never had a chance to see him play, but in most of the research that I did for this, Richie Ashburn is a all-time number one player. He wore it. He was the only one wearing one. That was a big deal at the time in the 60s. So Ashburn goes on that list as well. Billy Martin, the manager of the New York Yankees, he wore number one as well. I mean, when was the last time a manager wore number one? That's pretty cool, right?
When was the last time you see managers just wearing jerseys?
Yeah, they put a jacket.
Everyone's got the jacket on now. Nobody wears jersey anymore. I like it. I mean, let's go back to the days with Connie Mack where everybody wore a suit and a bowler hat or whatever the hell that kind of hat he was wearing. That's what I want to see. Let's dress up Joe Madden like that one night.
And then I found one from college, Anthony Carter. By most accounts, although he was a really good NFL player too with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, he sure was.
But in college, he was one of the best wide receivers of all time. And he wore number one at Michigan. And in the time Anthony Carter went into the NFL, as you know, Joe, there were different rules than there were now. Like, you couldn't come out of the NFL and pick number 18 mm-hmm. or pick number 20 or pick number 16 or 6. Now, I don't think they care now. Back then, it was if you were a receiver, you were 80 through 89, right? Like, that was pretty much it.
Billy Martin fits the whole body type of the number one, too. You know, and just a complete tortured soul. I watched actually a couple weeks ago. There was MLB Network did the one, but the one about Billy Martin is terrific. I mean, it really goes in depth about those years of him being the Oakland A's manager too, and that style of baseball, which is really fantastic to watch. The run he had in Texas too, which was success. Everywhere he went, he was successful, and everywhere he went, he burned other people out on him. And it's a shame because one of the great baseball minds, but a real tortured individual who had obviously his demons to deal with. And it's a shame because he had a lot to offer the game. And the drama of getting hired and fired by George Steinbrenner 5 different times can you imagine that in this day and age? Somebody going back 4 or 5 times with a manager back and forth. I mean, the things that happened in the 70s and 80s compared to now in sports. I mean, how often does a guy even get rehired once, let alone back and forth 100 times with the same guy? What a relationship between those two guys. Just absolutely fantastic. It's stunning.
That's a good point. That's what's changed a lot in the last 10 years.
You get second chances on other teams. But
not even as much as you used to. Those NBA coaches used to get recycled over and over again, and in baseball over and over. Now it's almost like if you don't succeed the first time, you may not get another chance. I mean, the guys don't move around nearly
and imagine, as much. And imagine if that had been the case, you wouldn't have had Joe Torre. You wouldn't have had.
Yeah, Joe Torre managed a million teams.
There's a couple other managers, I'm sure if I think about over the break, that were
Jack
not
McKeon,
successful. Jack McKeon.
Dick Williams.
Sure, they were not all successful out of the gate. Sometimes it takes time and the right players in the right situation. So I think baseball should recognize that and realize that. Now, Billy Martin's the opposite. He was always successful. Sometimes he got fired when he was in first place.
Of course, yeah. Lou Piniella.
Yeah, Lou Piniella, too.
Manager Joe Girardi.
For a short period of time. And, you know, Lou Piniella is another guy that I look, when you look back at the managing career of Lou Piniella, the run he had with the Reds, winning that title, the incredible teams he had in Seattle, I think Lou Piniella is a Hall of Fame manager, and I would love to see Lou go in someday because
it's a shame it ended so poorly. But yes, the first two stops he had were great. They thought that he—I mean, it's really wild that he couldn't get Tampa going because as soon as he left and Joe Madden came in, he did. It's a little.
I think
strange.
He was a little burned out by then. I think that's what it was, and it's a younger team, and I think sometimes you're just done. But those Seattle Mariner teams, I know they don't have the title to show for it. But my goodness, I mean, that's, what do you want? What was that one year back in 2001? How many games did they win? 111 or something like that. That's just staggering how good those teams were.
All right. Speaking of which, in the mid '90s, late '90s, the Mariners were the cream of the crop in the AFC, in the American League West. Seattle and the AL West, football baseball. Coming up next, we're going to take a look in baseball history. Go back to 1995. Dive a little bit deeper into what happened that season. You may find some things interesting. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today right after this. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice.
We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pizzapia on FST. Those of you who have been following, we've been doing our League of Legends fantasy drafts. You can go to fantasyleaguelegends.com to check out all the teams that we have been playing with, playing against. I'm actually doing okay in the 80s league. I don't think I'm going to make the postseason, but my team is really good. I'm a few games back as they simulate those games on Out of the Park Baseball. There's also a 90s league as well, and I was involved in all those drafts. We also aired those drafts on Fantasy Alarm. You can check out those live streams at fantasyalarm.com. But for today, Joe, we're going to check out a season in baseball, which for a lot of people, it was a little bit of a mixed bag because 1994, you had the MLB strike and the season ended, and then it even went into the 1995 spring training. And then, baseball was brought back a little bit, but it wasn't really met with the same excitement before the strike until, of course, Cal Ripken had his streak and broke the record. That was a big moment. And then, of course, the later on with McGuire and Sosa hitting all those home runs in 98.
Yeah, well, look, I think when you're looking at the 95 season, the reason why to start the series of random seasons that we're going to be doing here on the program, it was a perfect one to start with because this is what we're going to have. We're going to have a season that starts late. And I was looking for a year where that happened, and there you go. It's 1995, as you said, after the strike. And it's fascinating because what you have here is a season that started on April 25th, obviously a lot later, and went till late October, October 28th. So that's when the season actually ended. So we'll see. Maybe they will go that long, and maybe we will have November baseball this year in playoffs. Who knows? It's unlikely, but anything can happen. The top draft pick that year, little fun fact, was Darren Erstad was drafted number one overall, for those of you who remember those Angel teams that in the early 2000s became pretty good in the late 90s.
Good Troy Gloss,
a really good athlete overall. Darren Erstad was certainly one of those guys that was part of that with Garrett Anderson and all those guys. So there's your guy who was number one overall in the draft. The MVPs that year, Mo Vaughn and Barry Larkin. And Mo Vaughn, once upon a time, you want to talk about windows of greatness. Mo Vaughn was definitely it. Mo Vaughn was that prototypical slugger. He looked like a slugger. He looked like you'd be afraid of him. Had an incredible batting stance. Just a big guy. He looked like he played like an offensive lineman or a defensive tackle. And he was a baseball player. I mean, that's a totally different thing. And his name, Mo Vaughn, I mean, it just fit. And unfortunately, Mo Vaughn didn't get that second leg of his career that folks were hoping for in New York. But when he was a Boston, Craig, he was a beast.
Yeah, he got hurt going into the dugout trying to catch a ball. That's what his career kept going, but he was never the same. I believe he had some meniscus tear or something, and for whatever reason, they didn't fix it the way that they wanted to, and his career and was just never the same after that. But there's no doubt that with Boston, he was an absolute superstar, and then when he went to the Angels, not so much. Also, Darren Erstad, I should mention, played football at Nebraska. I believe he is the head baseball coach at Nebraska.
Oh, really? Well, look at that. Look at that. And the other MVP in the National League was Barry Larkin. This was kind of that crown jewel, that final piece for that Hall of Fame career in 1995. We all know how great Barry Larkin was, a steady presence there with the Reds for many, many years at shortstop. Now, I'm trying to remember. Did Barry Larkin wear number one too, or he wore 11? Is that what I'm thinking? He wore 11.
Sounds right.
He doesn't fit with our ones. He's got the two ones. I knew there were ones, but I know we were talking about the number ones earlier.
Barry Larkin was an interesting case because when he came up to the big leagues in 1986 and even into 1987, he was well thought of, but I don't know that a lot of people thought that he would end up having the Hall of Fame career. And he credits Dave Parker for really. Just kind of setting him straight. Dave Parker did that with a few guys that he went to over the course of his career.
Another guy that should be in the Hall of Fame. And it's so sad because the man's dealing with an illness.
Yeah.
And I know he was swagger before swagger and athletes was more acceptable. And, I mean, I'd love to see Dave Parker get in because Dave Parker in his era was a dominant player, and I think that matters.
In the late 70s and into the 80s.
Absolutely. Dave Parker, you fearsome. Dave Barker. In the postseason that year, the AL champions were the Cleveland Indians. They beat the Seattle Mariners, who we were just talking about. 95 is also that great playoff run there for the Mariners where they beat the Yankees in that game, that famous game where, of course, you have that moment there where Ken Griffey Jr. slides and comes around from first base because he knows a ball hit the left field. As he said, he knows that he could score on that one because the turf there was a little soft and the ball would slow down. And he had that one extra gear. His wife even said to him that day, she said, "I know you can run that fast." And she said, "Shh, don't tell everybody I can run that fast. I got to save it for once in a while." But that was a great moment in those playoffs. And unfortunately, on the sad end of that, that was the end of Don Mattingly. The Yankees went on to win in 1996, but that was the last game for Don Mattingly. And kind of sad that if he hung on one more year, he might have had that ring that it was so elusive for him.
Yeah, it's like he and Larry Bird, they had the back issues and had their injuries cut short. Yeah. I think Bird would have played a few more years, too. And the Magic kept playing. I think Bird would have also. But you remember those shots of Bird laying on the ground on the court during games? Like, he just couldn't even walk. And Dave Winfield had a back injury also that limited him. In fact, Winfield, I think, missed a whole year with a back injury in baseball. But I think my takeaway from 95, you mentioned Cleveland. Of course, Atlanta ended up winning the World Series. But no one ever mentions Albert Bell when they talk about great players.
Well, and you're Albert lucky Bell's because Diamond numbers. Betts does, because Diamond Betts got into a big discussion about left fielders. We got a big discussion about Albert Bell. So tune into that on Sunday. But you're right. Go ahead. Albert Bell was terrific.
I had a good relationship with him through the years. He was on the White Sox, and so I covered him in spring training. And he did interviews with me, and we got along pretty well. I don't get along with everyone that I interview, and I certainly don't have perfect relationships with every player. But for some reason, like, we hit it off a little bit. I always went in, like, not scared, basically, with him. I went in just kind of like, hey, like, let's just do it. Let's do our interviews. And he did great interviews with me for the spring, like 3 years in a row or 2 years in a row. I don't remember how long it was, but it was a couple times.
Well, those 90s Indians were special teams.
And he was just his numbers are insane.
The chart, 50 home runs, 123 runs scored, 120-some RBI.
He couldn't get along with anyone.
Nope.
He fought with everybody.
He did.
he had a horrible attitude, which is probably what made him great, but he couldn't ever get it together, but he was a beast on the field. And look, he's never going to get in the Hall of Fame. But at the end of his career, also, he just basically, like, quit, you know? Like, he's like, I got a bad hip, I'm done. But, yeah, like, I'm going to keep playing. Yeah. So he didn't play, and he got paid for years.
I know.
By the Orioles, just kept getting paid, like, to not play. In fact, I remember going to spring training, and his name is on the roster, like, for 2 years in a row. Look, the guy just didn't need to be there. I don't know if they just didn't have – they must have not had the insurance covered at the time with him. I'm not really sure what happened, but it was just so – such a poor –
it was sad because of how good he was, but, you know, the wrong personality for such a long season. You know, it's just – you know, I mean, it's a grind, and I think when you have personalities that are difficult to deal with – it kind of just magnifies itself. It could be they take the negative and make it 10 times worse potentially, but he was a great player. Those teams with Manny Ramirez, Charles Nagy, Carlos Baerga, Jim Tomey, I mean, Omar Vizquel. I mean,
I think Bell had 50 home runs and 50 doubles.
He did. I don't know if it was the 95. It might have been the 95. It might have been this one where he had that. And of course, this is the one lone championship. We were talking about the Braves yesterday on our stadium series. And this was it. This was the one lone championship for the Braves, quote-unquote, dynasty here.
Yeah.
And it's sad that the Cleveland team during that era didn't get one because John Hart did an incredible job building that roster from nothing and then seeing it into the post-Bell years too, because there was a lot of people when Bell left that, oh, my God, what's going to happen? And then Manny Ramirez and Jim Tomey and those guys coming of age really kind of picked up the ball and ran with it, basically, and were just terrific. Statistical leaders during then, the batting average title, obviously winning the batting title of the year was Edgar Martinez with a .356 average. And get this one, Tony Gwynn with a .368. You don't see guys hitting .368 in modern-day baseball. They're not trying to do it. But you're right. There's Albert Bell hitting 50 home runs that year, 126 RBI. The big year in the National League was Dante Bichette with 40 home runs and 128 RBI. But it was also those Rocky teams that was him and Larry Walker and Andres Galarraga. Those are the Bombers.
Vinny Castillo was monster at third base. He had 40 home runs, 100 RBIs every year.
He was indeed. And on the pitching side of things, you had Mike Mussina winning 19 games, Greg Maddux with 19. The strikeout leaders those years were Randy Johnson with 294 and Hideo Nomo with 236, which there's a name that people forget. Hideo Nomo came over, and he basically took the league by storm. He was Rookie of the Year in 1995 as well, and led the National League in strikeouts. That's a pretty darn good debut as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and the Dodgers have had those transcendent players. They find a way, you know. It probably started back with Valenzuela when he came up in 81. They had, you know, Fernando Mania. They had Nomo Mania. And then the one after that was Puig. You know, it was Puig Mania, too. Yep. It's like they have done a phenomenal job for decades finding players that are international. And
all the way back to the Pedro Guerrero days. I remember Pedro Guerrero, too, being one of those. The Rookie of the Year in the American League was Marty Cordova, who we all remember with the Minnesota Twins. Cy Young was Greg Maddux, of course, and Randy Johnson. I mean, two of the all-time best. You want to talk about a greatest living pitcher? I don't know. It might be a debate between those two guys. I mean, in terms of longevity and dominance, I mean, it's pretty good.
Clemens, too.
Yeah. Manager of the Year, Don Baylor with Colorado.
Wow.
Talk about a guy who got a lot of second chances as a manager. Don Baylor definitely did. Lou Piniella with 95. MVP, as we said before, was Larkin and Vaughn. But here's a fun one. Stolen bases. Kenny Lofton with 54 when guys used to steal 40, 50 bases. And here's a name from the past from your neck of the woods, down with the Marlins. Kilvio Vanas. Remember him? 56 steals
second baseman.
In 1995. So there you have it. And the All-Star game that year, Frank Thomas won the home run derby with 16 home runs. Nowadays, you need what, like 37?
For one round.
Right. How about some perspective there with that? And actually, Jeff Conine was MVP.
The MVP of the All-Star game.
It was a big year,
right.
Big year for the Marlins in 95. How about that?
I have that bobblehead, Joe. I could put it, send it right there behind you.
I would love to. You send the Jeff Conine bobblehead to my house. I will make special space for the Jeff Conine.
Yeah, the 90s was a really interesting era because even at this time, we were just starting to get into the massive home run totals. Because even in the mid-90s and early 90s, it felt like the 80s.
But you also had the expansion, too. When you, this couple years post-expansion, when the pitching got watered down, you add in Colorado, you add in PEDs, it's a cocktail for enormous, enormous offense.
Yeah, Rockies were just unstoppable hitting-wise during that era. It's just, you went to Colorado, you had a great year. The list is insane during that period of time. All right, we got to take a quick time out. We got hour number two coming up next. For those of you who are on YouTube, just add our show right now to your playlist. And so as soon as the show ends, the second hour of the show will begin. We got a lot to cover, including our stadium tour, two different places that we're going to discuss. We'll tell you a little bit about that a little bit later on. Also, if you are watching on one of the streaming apps, cool. But remember, on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe and then hit that little notifications button. And then this way, when our show does go to YouTube, you'll get a notification right to your phone, just like all the YouTube videos that we all have. Sports Grid is on that list, too. So make sure you add us as well. We'll be right back here on FST, Joe and Craig, after this quick break. Don't go away. We're right back after this.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you know that over 80% of companies in America, each generating more than $100 million in revenue, don't show up on public stock exchanges? They're private and are largely not an option for 401k investors. But now there's a chance for everyday American savers to opt in for access through the 401k plan if they choose to. Regardless of how you're building for the future, you deserve the same opportunities because you've earned the right to more. Learn more by visiting retiresafer.org. Paid for by the Council for a Safe and Secure Retirement.